And good evening, Hoops HD fans. Welcome to another Championship Week video notebook here on the second Tuesday of Championship Week, and still almost a full week left to go here. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, and joining me, as always, for the video notebooks is David Griggs. David, how you doing over there?
Pretty good. Not a whole lot of games tonight, just 10 games, and one of those was a meaningless game between Princeton and Penn, but still quite a bit of excitement tonight.
Quite a bit of excitement. I'm a little surprised to see it looks like you're back at home. I thought we were dispatching you to Houston tonight.
Well, I went to Houston, but I couldn't make it. We had some. I mean, let's see. There was an issue. I guess you could say.
There's no video streaming.
Wait a minute. Oh God, it's Chad. It looks like it's in the paper already.
There it is on the newspapers, everybody. Hoops HD's David Griggs, who appeared to be under the influence, angers fans and players of Grambling after attempting to present them an award for being the nation's worst team. David, you got ejected from the SWAC tournament 8-9 game. You were probably one of only about 10 people there. How the hell did that happen?
Well, there were a few more than 10 there. Well, first of all, I mean, I had a few, but I wasn't drunk. And this really just isn't fair. I was trying to present them with the coveted Centenary Award, the greatest award that we give, and we give it to the worst team, and they're on our nomination board. So I go down there. It was after the game. And everybody's upset, and I was like, well, cheer up. You're the worst team in America. Congratulations. You've won the Centenary Award. And everybody just got furious. The parents, they thought I was insulting them.
You didn't break out the golden toilet seat trophy,
well, yes,
did you?
Yes, I did. I had the toilet seat with me. The golden toilet seat is the trophy that the Centenary Award winner gets. But anyway, I thought it was just really I don't think this team deserves to I don't know. I don't think they deserve it anymore. They didn't seem to want it. I mean, they seem to resent the fact that they're the worst team in the country.
Well, we did have one other team, San Jose State, winless in Division I play. Grambling, though, also winless. They both picked up two non-D1 wins. Grambling a lot worse strength of schedule. The official voting on the Centenary Award actually does not take place until Thursday evening when our mock committee begins its meetings, but I think they are the presumptive choice right now. And David, you know, I don't know what happened there when you went down there to present the award. Very disappointing that you got thrown out.
God, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. People just don't appreciate what they have.
And let's get right into our brackets, and we'll start right there in the SWAC tonight with the 8-9 game, Grambling suffering the 66-52 loss to Alcorn. You're the only one that knows anything about the game because no one else was even down there. But they move on to take on Texas Southern in a game that's going to be played tomorrow, along with the Alabama State Mississippi Valley State game tomorrow. The other two quarterfinals will be coming up on Thursday.
It was a game that I was, I was kind of at the bar. But Alcorn State opened up a lead and basically maintained a 10-15 point lead all the way through. Grambling, their season ends. They have won this award before. It looked like they were turning it around. They had four or five wins a year ago. All kidding aside, this Grambling team is horrendous. This program is in such bad shape. I mean, everybody dips. Even teams that have won the Centenary Award have had something going for them. What the hell is wrong with Grambling? And it's worth pointing out, they're bad by SWAC standards. There's no other. There's just no being nice about it. They're the worst team in the worst league. They're the worst team in the nation. Would this team qualify for the Division II tournament if they played at the Division II level? It's astounding how bad they are, especially when you consider the proud athletic and football tradition that they have, that they're this bad in basketball.
Yeah, and you know, if you recall, there was a shakeup here very late in the offseason. I think only about a month before the season started, there was a new administration came in, dismissed the head coach of the team, Brought in a new head coach really at the very last minute. Made no sense to me because he had kind of started to turn things around last season. This whole program is in complete disarray, and to win the centenary 2 out of 3 years is just, I'd like to congratulate them for the award like we did Southern Utah last year, but we can't even do that, I think.
Right. Oh, wow. And you feel for these kids. I mean, yeah. The leadership there is, I think, without really knowing, has got to be part of the problem. Wow.
Well, something's got to happen there because it's not looking good and there's no real prospects in the future. But let's turn to the good side of things here, David. And the game of the night, I think, happened tonight in the Northeast Conference. Just an incredible game. I called it last night. I said that I just had a bad feeling about St. Francis Brooklyn. And they were up at the half. Robert Morris came out in the second half and built about a 10-point lead. You thought it was over. The Terriers came storming back late and, in fact, had a chance to tie it when they got fouled shooting a three-pointer with 3 seconds left.
Yes, it was quite a game. If you didn't see it, it was one of the best and most unique atmospheres we've ever seen in such a small facility. I heard them on the news, like it was, this is according to Lee Del Vecchio, it was so small that they had, the media there covering the game were not in the Coliseum or the arena area. They had to go into a back room and watch it on television simply because they wanted to get as many fans in there as possible. I personally have been laughing about that ever since he emailed it. And the other thing that happened was apparently there was a theater class or some sort of class that was over just 2 hours before the game started in that particular venue. So a real unique atmosphere. This game, if you watched it, and I know you did, and it was so high energy that it got sloppy multiple times. I think the players were so pumped up on both ends that they were doing things the hard way. They would miss free throws and miss easy shots, but then come up with big steals after sloppy passes. One of the things, St. Francis Brooklyn was not a great free throw shooting team this year. I looked this up. I think they shot 68% on the year, which is pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. They were 9 of 22 tonight, I think.
Yeah, that killed them. They started out 1 of 8 in the second half, and then, of course, missing all three free throws with a chance to tie the game with 3 seconds left. They actually got a shot off at the buzzer after Robert Morris went down and missed a pair of free throws that hit off of the rim, which, I mean, from three-quarters court, it would have been amazing. I don't know if it had been the clock anyhow. But
yeah, this ball hit the rim. It hit the back of the rim, so it did one of those deals where it bounced up, I mean, about 15 feet off the rim. And for a split second, it's like, oh, my God, if this comes down and goes through. They play on the second floor of whatever building they're on. I'm like, the arena is going to fall through to the first floor.
But in the end, the Terrier season is not over. They're going to go on to the NIT. Robert Morris, congratulations in the NCAA tournament and on their way to Dayton.
Yeah. I really feel for the Terrier. I mean, I really enjoyed this story all year from the day they moved in the first place. We were kind of looking forward to this game and this atmosphere. It certainly came through. Congrats to Robert Morris, as you said. I don't mean this to slight Robert Morris, but I would have liked to have seen St. Francis Brooklyn in that.
Yeah, with both St. Francis Brooklyn and William & Mary losing in their championship games, the list of five teams that have been members of D1 since 1948 when the division started, unlike they were saying on the TV broadcast, that was not the first year of the NCAA tournament. That was the first year of divisions in the NCAA. That list will continue unless we get the miracle from Northwestern this year.
Which would be the greatest moment. I mean, whatever you think it is, the Nova beating Georgetown, 1983 NC State, whatever you think, the Leitner shot, this would be the greatest thing in the history of college basketball, just winning the Big Ten tournament for Northwestern.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen, and we'll be going to next year with the same list of five. And, Army has their whole team back from this year. I think they have a shot again next year to be
great.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But let's move on to the other game of the night in the Summit League.
This was great.
An exciting one-point game here. David, end of the game, North Dakota State's up 57-56. There's a review, actually. South Dakota State thinks they have the ball after an out-of-bounds play. There's a review. It's given to the Bison, who get fouled right away with about 7 seconds left. They're on the other end shooting a 1-1, miss the front end. South Dakota State, with one timeout left, dribbles down the court.
Okay, no problem yet. Dribbling down the court, no problem. See what develops.
There's nothing there, and puts up a shot from 10 feet beyond the three-point line with still a second and a half left on the clock. Any timeout in your pocket.
Right, it was really poorly managed, and I think the way to approach this is, I think what happens too much, and I'm actually copying right off of you, so if you want to jump in and explain it, teams call timeout too early. You don't want to get the rebound and just call timeout because you're essentially giving the other team a timeout too. Dribble up the court, see what's there. If you have an advantage, go for it. If you don't, then take your timeout.
And the coach from the sideline is allowed to call the timeout. If I'm the coach, you're sitting there right there. You see what's out there. There's nothing there. Yell at the official. You got 3 seconds left. You'll be able to run a set play and get a shot off, as opposed to having a kid see nothing there, doesn't know exactly what the clock is in his head, puts up a shot a second and a half too early from 10 feet beyond where he should be shooting it. And it wasn't even close. It didn't even hit the rim.
Right. And again, it was a bad play by the part of South Dakota State to end what was a really good game. Over the years, I don't know if you recall, well, I'm sure you do, during Rivalry Week, or what ESPN calls Rivalry Week, we did on our Under the Radar show, which is the non-power conferences, our Under the Radar rivalries. This one did not make the list. I don't know. It certainly should be on there now. Over the last 2 years, it's not North Dakota, North Dakota State. That's a big football rivalry. I think it's this one. This is just a great they're two of the better teams in the conference. They have been for the last three seasons. And whenever they play, it's a game like this. It's just been great. And looking ahead to next year, North Dakota State has everyone back. South Dakota State, I believe, has four starters back. I realize that we're 15-16 range this year as far as seeding goes, but next year, I mean, we're going to be talking about them as maybe being inside the bubble again.
Yeah, I mean, we did this last year. We talked about this possibility of a two-bit Summit League and got completely disappointed, so I don't want to – it's way too early to get our hopes up about next year, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and I don't know that North Dakota State's going anywhere in the tournament. They might be on their way to Dayton also. Yeah. It's probably going to be a close call there between that and just one of the regular seeds.
This year they're way overmatched. But I just say this, both of these programs transitioned up recently. North Dakota State in particular, from the time Tim Miles was the coach to Saul Phillips to the guy who's there now. If I was a good analyst, I'd know who it is. But, I mean, both these programs have transitioned up and done extremely well since doing so. Wow.
Dave, we also ran the championship game tonight in the Horizon League. This was a lot closer game than the final score. And, in fact, the half, Green Bay looks like they were going to be blowing out Valparaiso. I think they had about a 15-point lead early on. Completely different story in the second half where Valpo just came out on fire, although it was still a close game until about 3 or 4 minutes left to go.
Yeah, at the under four timeout, it was still very close. And again, the game was closer than the score appeared. It was not any more high scoring than what the score indicates. It was a defensive kind of a rock fight, which was kind of surprising. Green Bay's a really good defensive team, but I thought that they would put up more points than this. But still, congrats to Valpo. This is kind of a live wire team. Everybody is freaking out about Murray State and how they should be in and probably won't be. They shouldn't be. Valpo is better than Murray State. They really are.
Yeah. This Valpo team had a strong season. Green Bay let us down, had a few bad losses, or they would have been in the bubble discussion as well. I still think Green Bay is probably on the way to the NIT.
Yeah, I believe so.
But this Valpo team, I mean, it obviously depends on the matchups, but I think they've got a real good shot of advancing past the round of 64 this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. And I think that the rankings prevent people from thinking for themselves, but Iona and Valpo both better than Murray State, in my opinion.
I'm not going to agree with you on the Iona deal, but...
Well, they're not going anyway.
Right. One more championship game that was tonight was in the West Coast Conference. Just got finished before we went on the air here. Gonzaga 91-75 over BYU. It was actually a closer game than this most of the way. BYU did hang with them for quite some time, made a late run, cut it to about 6 points, and then Gonzaga said, you know what, forget it. We're just ending this game and put them away.
Yeah, I mean, for 30 minutes, this was a hell of a game. It really was. I mean, it was exciting. It was up and down. The crowd was bonkers. This was really good. BYU, right outside our bubble, when I say ours, I mean the Hoops HD mock committee, or at least the consensus bracket that we did the other night. I do think BYU gets in the real tournament. I just have a feeling the real committee might not listen to us, but they might get in ours as well.
And David, I know we spoke about this before we went on the air. I don't believe in it. I don't think you do either, but there are people out there that are conspiracy theorists about picks. And I would just point out that BYU's athletic director is on the committee this year. And also the Scott Barnes, who's the chairman of the committee, is the Utah State athletic director. So another person from the state of Utah on the committee as well. I don't think that will affect it. I think that, maybe there have been years in the past where there were a little some backroom deals being made, but I've not seen that in the selections over the past 7 or 8 years at least, and I'm not going to go along with those theories.
Right, and I don't really either. I'm not going to say that. I mean, if it certainly doesn't hurt to have representation on the committee, but I don't think it helps as much as a lot of people make it out. I think that they get it into their own heads of what they personally think should happen or what they personally think will happen, and then when it doesn't, they think it's the conspiracy theorist. One of the more surprising selections was Iona. I forget if it was 2 or 3 years ago, and I don't believe Iona had any representation at all.
You're correct, yes.
Yeah. I think that's more or less a case of people, again, thinking that they know what's going to happen or feeling what they think should happen, and then when it doesn't match what the committee does, it's like, oh, well, there must be, you know, something fishy going on there. We can't be wrong. There must be a conspiracy. They're not going to say they're going to always get it right. They don't, but I don't think it's for the same reason. Anyway.
In the game of the night tonight, my team, the team that I've been rooting for all along for my entire life, or at least the last week of it, the South Carolina State Bulldogs won their 7-10 game over North Carolina A&T to advance in the MEAC tournament. Coppin State also pulling off a close win over Bethune-Cookman tonight.
Yeah, that one was exciting. I watched most of that one.
Yeah, and North Carolina A&T made a late run on the Bulldogs also, but South Carolina State did advance. MEAC, two more games coming up tomorrow night. It is the 1-9 game between North Carolina Central and Coppin, and the 2-7 game between my South Carolina State team and Norfolk State. See either one of those games being an upset tomorrow?
No.
Well, South Carolina State's winning it all, but
I thought you meant no. I don't see an upset. I don't see Norfolk State winning.
Okay. Yeah. Norfolk State actually, it's going to be tough. This tournament being played not on their home court, but in Norfolk at the Scope Arena, home of 1993 WWF wrestling and the likes. But North Carolina Central though getting their first action tomorrow. This has been a conference that has a history of a lot of upsets. So
yeah,
just keep an eye on this game. If it's close late, you may want to flip it on.
Mm-hmm.
Final two games tonight, David. If the rest of the ACC tournament is like what we saw today, we are going to have one of the greatest tournaments of all time.
Yeah, again.
I'm going to scroll down a bit here because it's a pretty, pretty big backup, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, two really exciting games today. I don't think either winner is going much further, and by not much further, I mean I think they're done tomorrow. But, I mean, just two really pretty good played games. Georgia Tech eliminated. That's Lee Delvecchio's team.
Yeah, but both 1-point games here.
Yeah.
65-81-80 Vatek, breaking, I think it was a 7-game losing streak coming into the tournament here to take down Wake Forest.
Yes. I believe it was this. The end of this Vatek-Wake Forest game was ridiculous. First of all, Wake was bringing it down the floor, and they ended up giving Wake a free timeout because they had to go watch television for 5 minutes to see whose ball it should be. And even after reviewing it for 5 minutes, I think they got that wrong and ended up giving it to Wake Forest. So they get a free timeout and the ball when in reality they should have had neither. And they still failed.
And they had three shots at it. They had two. They took a jump shot, and then they had two tip-in attempts that both missed. And so that's why Wake Forest lost. But you know, I have an idea here. I just want to throw out there. You mentioned that this free timeout. I think it's pretty ridiculous that you get these free timeouts. Why not, if you have an official timeout just for an official review, and your team is not called an actual timeout, tell the players you can't go to the bench. You've got to go stand on the other side of the court. You can talk to yourselves, but don't let the coaches go in there and set up plays.
I agree with that. That's a good idea. I've not heard that one before. The other thing that I would recommend is, I think the standard, at least in the NFL, is inconclusive evidence. It needs to be conclusive evidence. Mm-hmm. Now, my thing is, if you're at the monitor for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, by definition, it's not conclusive. If after 60 seconds you still don't know, go back to the original call and get on with the game, because you are disrupting the game more by stopping and watching television for a half hour, seemingly, after every play than you are by getting what is at best at that point a questionable call correct.
Coming up tomorrow here, let's just one more look here at the ACC. We've got the Miami-Virginia Tech game, the NC State Pitt game, Boston College-North Carolina. Note news tonight that Kennedy Meeks is sick, will not be playing for Carolina tomorrow, but they are only playing Boston College, so they should still be able to win the game. And the first game of the day after tomorrow is Clemson-Florida State. I think that game and the NC State-Pitt game could both be really good games.
Yeah, and Pitt's one of those teams, we kind of talked about them the other night. I think they can play their way in without winning the entire tournament. They win this first game, and then they beat Duke. They might be in.
Right, and but they could also lose this first game, obviously.
If they lose this first game, they're done, yeah.
Right. Of course, BC can play their way in. They just have to win all their games.
All their games, yes. I don't know, can they? Can they? If they win them all, what happens?
Well, we're going to have to find out because, you know, either that or the universe implodes, one of the two.
Yeah, okay.
We are back in action tomorrow at the Mid-American Conference, and this is another crazy-looking bracket up here, so I try to get the whole thing on the screen. But we have the two what we'll call second-round games. The top four seeds still not in action, but we have Bowling Green playing Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan playing Akron tomorrow night. Any thoughts on either one of these two games?
I think they're both going to be really good. I really like Bowling Green. Eastern Michigan's been playing sort of well lately, but I just like this Bowling Green team. If it wasn't this crazy ladder format, I'd almost pick Bowling Green to win the whole thing. Akron, I kind of like them over Western Michigan, despite them being the lower seed. They had a big win at the end of the year. I think they're coming in with a lot of momentum. And they edged out Northern Illinois in the first round, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I like Akron tomorrow. So I'm going to pick the upset here with Eastern Michigan over Bowling Green. I think this is a great story here. If Bowling Green could make the tournament, they haven't been in good 50-some-odd years or more. And they had a great season. They just kind of fell apart at the end of the season, even struggled a bit with Ball State in that first-round game, and I just don't think they're playing well right now, which is a shame. I think they were playing really well all year.
They will. Chris Jans, he should be back next year. First-year coach, out of Wichita State. Not just his first year at Bowling Green, his first year ever as a head coach, but he's done really well.
David, I'll let you go get a drink of water here right now. It seems like you need one while I pull up the next bracket here. And we have one championship game coming up tomorrow.
I got to get it. Okay, I'm okay.
Well, that wasn't water, but...
best cough medicine.
We have the championship game in the Patriot League coming up tomorrow. This will be our last automatic bid given out before Saturday, actually. From here on out, it's going to be all preliminary round, quarterfinals, and semifinal games until we reach Saturday morning. So,
yes.
Lafayette and American at Lafayette tomorrow.
Yeah, two of the lower-seeded teams, and I would just like to say, I like the way American's playing. I thought that they had the best team coming into the season, although they didn't always play like it. I think their ceiling is the highest. And Dayton is lovely this time of year, and that's where the winner of this game is going.
Yeah, but American, if they do win, it will definitely have earned their way there, having won at Lehigh, at Colgate, and then at Lafayette. I'm kind of leaning towards Lafayette here. They have a very good home court advantage when their fans turn out, and they're obviously going to be turning out tomorrow. This right. is going to be another raucous atmosphere tomorrow night.
Yeah, should be.
On that note, let's head over to some of the conferences that are kicking off play tomorrow night. I'm just going to run through them here in no particular.
We've got a lot of bad teams from good conferences in action tomorrow.
And let's start with some bad teams from a bad conference as Conference USA tips off tomorrow.
Yes.
These are... four games tomorrow: UT San Antonio against Florida International, Middle Tennessee against Charlotte, Western Kentucky against Marshall, North Texas against Rice. I made this comment to you, I believe, might have been off the air, not during one of the podcasts earlier, but when Rice is the ninth place team in your conference and you've got actually 16 teams in it, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, anyway, their membership's 14, but yeah, your point's taken. They've got, when Rice is ahead of four teams, that's not a good sign. This conference is full of, they're trying to act like they're a power conference. They really need to look at going to campus sites, at least for the opening round. Now, it once upon a time, their membership was Cincinnati, Louisville, Memphis, Marquette. Stronger programs. St. Louis was there. Charlotte was there. You had a real formidable league here, but they still operate as if that was their lineup. I have joked for years that the answer to the population density problems that they're having in China and India is to move the Conference USA opening round to that country. It will disperse everyone.
The only team that I think is playing tomorrow that has a shot to win the conference is Western Kentucky, the fifth seed.
Yes.
But they've kind of stumbled down the stretch here.
But this league, we're used to seeing half-empty arenas, even at the major conferences, for the opening rounds. They insist, but it makes sense to put the Big Ten in a big arena or the ACC or the SEC or any of them because they're going to fill it most of the time. They play these in 16,000, 17,000 seat arenas, Conference USA, and there's not going to be 5,000 people at any of the games. It's just a horribly managed, stupid. Anyway, plenty of tickets available tomorrow in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, we've got two questions that we do need to answer about this tournament. Number one, who do you think is going to win it? And number two, is there an at-large bid possibility here? And mostly, I'd think that the team with the best profile, even though they're the second place team in this, or tied for second in the standings, is Old Dominion.
Yes.
If they make it to the finals and lose there to Louisiana Tech, do they get consideration?
They get consideration. I don't think they get in. And one of the reasons is if you look at our bubble, with the exception of BYU, but all of the teams around there are playing in conference tournaments, and they're going to have a chance to win and play their way up, whereas Old Dominion, the best they can hope for is to beat NIT caliber teams.
Right. And they lost to Middle Tennessee once this year, who could be is probably their first round opponent there.
Yes.
So who do you think wins this thing?
Louisiana Tech.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go with UTEP to win this tournament. I mean, not too far out of the limb, take the two seed, but I think they knock off ODU and Louisiana Tech and go to the NCAA tournament.
Okay. And I mean, UTEP could. They have the potential to be really good. It's just they aren't always. And then Tim Floyd, over under, what are the odds, 60-40, that he's going to get thrown out of at least one game?
I think there's a pretty good chance he gets thrown out. If he's going to get thrown out, it'll probably be the quarterfinal game. I think they'll give him a little more leeway when it gets further on to the tournament. But
Right. Tim Floyd is fantastic. refs call technical fouls to keep coaches in line. Whenever a technical foul is called on Tim Floyd, he gets further out of line. So far out of line that it's unbelievable sometimes. So
tomorrow is also the first round today in the Atlantic 10 tournament. This is a big tournament here. I'm going to scroll up pretty far here so we can see the games for tomorrow. It's the 12-13 game between Fordham George Mason and the 11-14 game between Duquesne and St. Louis.
Yes, a rematch from last year's exciting opening round between Fordham and George Mason.
Yeah. The only thing of note here is that the winner of that game is going to be VCU's first chance to prove that they really are belonging of a solid, you know, NCAA tournament position. I think they're in the tournament, but right. that they're going to be wearing white jerseys. If they lose that game, they're going to fall pretty far. And then they've got Richmond sitting there waiting for them in the quarterfinals, which should be a great game if it happens. Yes.
The first two were fantastic, especially the second one. I am kind of disappointed here, Chad, and you know why. Because they have a chance to do a quintuple header and they don't do it.
Well, not
it would have to be a header, I guess.
It's a sextuple header because they added Davidson this year.
Yeah, but think you start at 10 a.m., 10, 12:30, 3, 5:30, 8, 10:30. It would be a great day of basketball.
It would be. It's not going to happen.
But it should happen.
You've got their couple, you know, Dayton and Rhode Island are both getting buys into the quarterfinals as well. I'll scroll to the top of the screen there. Davidson is going to get the winner of UMass LaSalle. Here's the question again: who wins this thing?
Oh boy. I'm tempted to pick Davidson, but the problem with Davidson is that they sort of live by the three, die by the three. They're a very good shooting team. But as most good shooting teams, they shoot the ball much better at home than on the road. This one's tough. I'm real tempted to pick a bid stealer here, and I realize that they kind of rewrote the book on Suck when they lost 5 out of 6, but they've looked really good in their last two games. I'm going with George Washington.
It's kind of funny, David, because I'm going to go with a bid stealer here also, especially because this final being on Sunday just screws everything up when you have a bid stealer potential. I'm going to go with Richmond, though, on this tournament.
Whoa, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think they can knock off VCU. I've never been overly sold on Davidson, even though I think they're a tournament team at this point. And, you know, and then you got Dayton, Rhode Island, or GW in the finals. I think that the Spiders could take this whole tournament. And I think they're going to also could create an interesting bubble question about them just if they get past VCU and Davidson.
I like the pick. Mm-hmm. If it's Richmond and George Washington in the final, oh, wow, that would be squaring off. But we'll have contingency plans for all this, too. So.
Okay. Let's move over here now to let's hit the Big Ten, which kicks off tomorrow as well with another team that I guess I'm supposed to be rooting for. The 12-13 game between Tim Miles and Penn State, and the 11-14 game between Minnesota and Rutgers tomorrow.
How does this – so I guess it goes Wednesday – okay, so the finals would be on Sunday, yes. Looking at the format.
So Tim Miles is going to need to win 5 games in 5 days to take this tournament.
Which, I mean, the first one's a given. They're playing Penn State. Second one, Iowa. Purdue, they've been lucky. That gets them easily into the semis. And then
– it's whiskey.
Whiskey. Well, you know, Wisconsin – They're going to want some time off, and I think Tim Miles has this league right where he wants it. He's got them lulled into a full sense of security, and he's just 9 wins away from the Final Four.
Yeah.
Just the facts, interpret them how you want.
I know you're going with Tim Miles to win this conference.
Absolutely.
I think form holds here. Wisconsin takes this tournament, and I don't think either tomorrow's games mean anything whatsoever.
In all seriousness, I guess I'll agree.
Okay.
But absolutely, I'm going with Nebraska all the way.
Nebraska all the way. I went to Rutgers, and I'm not going. I don't think they even beat Minnesota tomorrow. So.
Right.
Pac-12 kicks off tomorrow with its four first-round games starting at 3 o'clock Eastern. Washington State, Cal, USC versus the Curtain of Distraction, Colorado, Oregon State, and Washington, Stanford.
Yeah, Washington, Stanford. I mean, one team has nosedove and crashed, and the other team's just nosediving. That's Stanford. I think Stanford gets it done tomorrow, and they go no further, except to the NIT. Oregon State is so bad on the road, but they've been fun to watch this year. They almost got Oregon the last time they played them. I think they get past Colorado. We have a third Civil War, and it's going to be interesting. What do you think about Oregon ending up all the way up at number two? Does that put them pretty far inside the bubble in your mind, or are they still on? I know that they're inside ours, but I was wondering where you had them.
I had them a little bit lower, and I think if they do lose that quarterfinal game, they're definitely sweating things out. I think if they just avoid the bad loss, which means that they beat Colorado or Oregon State, then lose to Utah in the semis, they're okay. I mean, if Utah gets upset also, then they have to make the finals. But yeah. You avoid a bad loss, Oregon should be safe. I guess UCLA is the big question here up top. They're going to start with probably Arizona State. I don't think the Curtain is coming with them. We'll take a look for that, see if it does. They're going to have their shot with Arizona, though. If they can make it to the finals, I think UCLA is a tournament team.
If they can do that, I just don't see what impresses people about this UCLA team. I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona State got them in the quarters. I mean, yes, if they beat Arizona, then you have to look at them. There has been absolutely nothing whatsoever that would lead anyone to believe they could beat Arizona on a neutral court.
As far as who's going to win this tournament, David, I'm going to pick chalk as far as the champion in Arizona. I'm going to throw a team out there that I think is going to make a run and pull off a couple of upsets and lose in the championship game and have a lot of people sweating out, and that's Colorado.
That would be I have not seen Colorado play well since last year.
Right, but that's why it would be a crazy upset. I mean, obviously they're not anywhere near the tournament, but I just think that, you know, the bracket, I mean, think they could beat Oregon State. I think Oregon's a little suspicious. I think Utah's a little suspicious. So I think somebody could come out of that bottom half of the bracket that besides the two or the three seed there, and I'm going to go with Colorado as my pick.
Yeah, and they have a tendency to roll in this tournament. They've done really well in it in the past at times. So they actually won it, I think, as the sixth seed. Was it 3 or 4 years ago?
I believe you're right, yeah. We have first round day in the Mountain West tomorrow also. New Mexico Air Force and UNLV versus Nevada in the Battle of Nevada.
A big rivalry game that it could not possibly be less appealing tomorrow.
Well, you can get less appealing by watching Wyoming and Utah State the next day. But
Oh, God. Wyoming and eye-gouging team. I don't know what's happened to New Mexico this year. Even at home, they weren't that impressive. Air Force is tricky despite being ninth. That being said, I've been big on Boise. I like how they've been playing recently. I would not be surprised if New Mexico took them down in the quarters.
Really? Because I think I look at this bracket, I see that this thing is open wide for Boise to make at least the championship game.
Oh, it is. But Boise doesn't always bring it. That's the thing. When they do, they're good. They certainly have the profile. They finished first, but I don't know. I could see them losing to either one of those teams.
I'm going to go with Colorado State to win this conference tournament. I think Boise does make the finals, but I think Boise is going to be so sick of to the stomach after having beaten Wyoming in the semis that they're not going to have anything left for Colorado State in the championship game.
Right.
And I'm not that big of a fan of the San Diego State team. I think they're solidly in the field,
That's who I'm going to go with. They're probably going to get a test against UNLV in the first game. It's virtually a true road game. But after that, I mean, Colorado State, I just think that they cruise after that. I still think they're the best team in the conference, even though they finished second.
A few more conferences left to go here. The Big East kicks off tomorrow with its Marquette Seton Hall 8-9 game, Creighton versus DePaul, in the thrilling 7-10 game.
Yes, I would like to congratulate DePaul on what I believe is their best finish in this conference since Dave Letteo was the coach there.
Yeah, that DePaul finished a surprising 7th. One more spot up, and they could have avoided the first round and made the Big East quarterfinals for probably the first time ever, or first time that I remember them getting that far, at least. Maybe they could do it tomorrow by beating Creighton. Obviously, Villanova and Georgetown wait for the winner of tomorrow's two games. Real interesting pair of quarterfinals, though, with St. John's Providence and Xavier Butler.
Xavier Butler, is it safe to call it a rivalry yet, or is it still a budding rivalry? They don't like each other. So it's fun. That one's going to be fun, and it's kind of a stakes game. Butler is playing for a protected seed, and Xavier's playing for a seed.
Yeah, Xavier really is going to need one win in this tournament if they want to feel safe, have a shot of feeling safe coming to Selection Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're in anyway, because losing to Butler's not going to hurt, but beating them would certainly help.
Does Villanova win this tournament, or do you think somebody knocks them off?
I think it's Nova. And the reason being, what they did to St. John's in Madison Square Garden just last week, and I think them losing last year in the quarters is still kind of soured, and I think it's fresh in their minds. Last year they weren't playing with a purpose. This year I think they will be.
And that was to Seton Hall last year, who has a very good chance of being their opponent here in the quarterfinals again. So I agree with you. I think Villanova does bring it this year and does take the Big East tournament and lock up a one seed by doing that.
Yeah.
First round day tomorrow, also in the Big 12, with Kansas State versus TCU and Rick Barnes versus Texas Tech.
You have a good conference when you have a team that's either – well, I don't think K-State's on the bubble. I know you like them. But Texas certainly is. And if they win tomorrow, they might be safe.
I will condition. When I made my case for K-State, I had said they had to win at Texas to end the regular season and win their 8-9 game. They did not win the game at Texas, so I'm no longer they failed to do what I said they had to do.
Okay.
So obviously, I'll make a K-State case again if they beat Kansas and make the semifinals. But
It was just one of those nights. They failed to do what you said they had to do. I'm assuming when I see Bruce Weber is still the coach, you said they had to fire Bruce Weber and they didn't.
that would have helped a lot, actually. I think they'd be in the field solidly if they had done that at any point this season. Yeah. Interesting 3-6 game here coming up. It's not tomorrow, but bedlam there between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State also.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun. It always is. I don't recall them playing in the conference tournament. I'm sure they have, but, wow, that one's going to be good.
Yeah. Is Kansas going to win this tournament?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they have the easier side of the bracket than Iowa State does. I think, obviously Iowa State's going to get probably going to get Texas.
I don't think it's Iowa State. I just don't think that they're good enough away from home to win it. I can't get Baylor out of my head. I like how they've been playing. It wouldn't surprise me if they did win this. I'm going to go with Baylor.
I really like Oklahoma, the way they've been playing. My problem is that the road, having to go through Okie State, Iowa State, and then Kansas probably, or Baylor, is just so difficult that maybe Kansas being the only team that's going to catch a break in the quarterfinals is going to end up being my pick.
Yeah, you say they're going to catch a break, but and they will. They'll pound Kansas State. It's not at Kansas State.
And it's a revenge game off of what happened at Kansas State.
Right. But just, Texas Tech, I don't know if you can call that a rivalry. It sort of is. But these are our matchups. Is this the last great real conference? It would be if Missouri was still in it. But we have a potential Kansas State-Kansas, an actual Texas-Texas Tech, and we have an Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game. Tournament. This is a throwback. I mean, swap out
Swap West out Virginia. T- Well, swap out TCU for Missouri, and you've got an incredible conference, really. Yeah. Swap out West Virginia for Nebraska. Let's go back to the old Big 12.
Yes, let's do that.
Bring Colorado back. And anyhow, let's move on to Texas A&M, of course. Two more conferences kicking off tomorrow. One of them is the SEC. Kentucky is still 2 days away from playing in their attempt to go into the NCAA tournament undefeated. But we've got the Mississippi State-Auburn game, the 12-13 game, with Bruce Pearl's first SEC game since returning to coaching, and Angry Frank against Missouri.
I would just like to say to Missouri that we are not surprised, but we are very disappointed in you.
And there's been a couple suspensions for South Carolina, so there are going to be a couple players down.
That's going to make Frank angry.
He got angry at those players, didn't he?
Missouri is so bad. Oh, Missouri's so bad. Anyway, as far as who's going to win this, Kentucky.
I think it's going to be obviously it's going to be Kentucky. They'll get Florida or Alabama first, probably something like LSU. As far as the other half of the bracket, who they're going to play in the finals, I'm going to go with Ole Miss here.
Okay. We got Tennessee Vanderbilt. You might recall we had angry Kevin Stallings at the last time those two played. I was laughing at that for an hour. Everybody was furious, but I mean, just the irony of the guy flipping out over not having any self-control. Anyway, the teams in this tournament, we're not going to see them in action tomorrow, but you have Ole Miss, you have Texas A&M, you have some real bubbly teams in this field, this and the Big Ten, which we already talked about. So when you asked earlier about Old Dominion, this is where they run into problems. It's because the structure of a tournament in a win-in-advance scenario, somebody's going to win in advance, and the team that does is probably going to be able to play their way inside the bubble, this and the Big Ten. Old Dominion won't have those opportunities to get notable wins. I guess, so we've said Kentucky's going to win, Chad. If I could steal the host seat for a second and ask you a question, who plays their way in?
I mean, you look at this Texas A&M team that you just mentioned, a potential quarterfinal with LSU. They've already beaten them twice of the season, which is their only thing that they've got good on their profile. But again, they pick up the third win over LSU. That's the team that could play its way in here. Really, I think that's the biggest bubble team you have. Georgia really could use another win, so I think a Georgia-Ole Miss quarterfinal game, assuming that Ole Miss gets past Angry Frank or Missouri, is also an important game and could, if things fall apart for bubble teams, and there are some bids still, the loser of that game could find themselves on the outside come Selection Sunday.
Right. And again, I meant to do that with the Big Ten, but I guess we'll do that tomorrow because we'll be previewing the real games.
Yeah. We'll be back on these brackets a lot here. One more conference kicking off tomorrow. The Southland, where we have this is a ladder format. We've got our 5-8 game between Southeastern Louisiana and McNeese State, and our 6-7 game between Nicholls State, and welcome the University of New Orleans Championship Week. The first time they've been in a conference tournament in about 5 years.
Yeah, it's actually good to see them up there on the bracket. So I hope they're able to get it tomorrow. I don't see them beating Texas A&M Corpus Christi, but hopefully they can get the win against Nicholls and get to the quarters. Is that the quarters? Yeah, the quarters.
We to get to the quarters. Northwestern State and A&M Corpus Christi get single buys at the quarters. SFA and Sam Houston into the semis. The first question is, do we get the SFA Sam Houston State for the third time this season? Second question is, does SFA win it?
Yes and yes.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, Texas A&M Corpus Christi is the other most dangerous team. They beat both Sam Houston and SFA, be it at home in both these games. This conference tournament being played on what is pretty much a neutral court there in Katy, Texas, kind of dead center in the conference, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that SFA ends up getting this bid. On that note, we want to move over to our survival board. I will drop the screen down here and
Okay, let's see. We're trying to get that up for you. Let's see. And I believe we have it.
Okay, there it was. And that is where we were as of last night. We made one extra team that came on after we did the podcast last night as BYU closed out their win over
Portland.
Was it Portland? Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Portland was very anxious to get out to the strips there. So you see we have Brigham Young under consideration, Gonzaga in bold, and we might have somebody listening for the first time, Chad. So why is that important? Like, what does Gonzaga and BYU being in bold mean?
Okay, well, there's four different types that you'll see here. A team that is in bold and
like, cap. Okay, we see Wofford there, I believe. Yeah,
that is a team that's clinched an automatic bid. That tells the committee when they go to this as their resource, because this is a resource for the committee,
yes.
That this team is in, they've clinched an automatic bid, do not leave them out. If you leave them out, you just screwed up, you got to go back and start over again.
Right, yes.
If you're in bold like Gonzaga, you are in as well. You haven't clinched an automatic bid, although we're going to get to what they actually have at this point. But
right here we have Arkansas and Kentucky.
Arkansas and Kentucky, they will be in even if they lose in their conference tournaments. They will be in the NCAA tournament. Don't think about whether you should consider them. Just think about where you're going to seed them.
Uh-huh.
Then if you have a team that's in italics like Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Those are teams that you may want to think about that we're not, you know, those are the teams you got to sit there and debate. That's your job. You know, decide which of those, how many spots you have and which of those italicized teams belong
in.
You
say that you mean the actual selection committee.
The actual real selection committee.
This document, yes. And they see them in italics and they're like, okay, we're supposed to talk about that team.
Yes. And then if they see somebody like, let's say, McNeese State or Nichols State that's just in – that's not even italics or bold or anything, we're telling them, don't talk about them. Don't even mention them. Don't waste your time. If for some reason they suddenly go into bold and caps because they caught an automatic bid, you can discuss them then. Until then, you don't have to think about them.
Right. So, I mean, the actual committee comes to this board, and they use this as a resource so they know what they're supposed to be doing.
Yes. And if we're going to refresh the button here, let's scroll up to the top again. We're at 208.
Yeah, and this is all the teams that are left on the board. And, again, the losing your screw teams like the Florida States, who's another one, like Georgia Tech, for instance, if they lose, they're screwed. And what happens when they lose? We go down to 200 teams. So
we're at the elite 200. There are 200 teams left in the country that have a shot at winning the national championship. Every one of them is listed on this page. And we'll see Georgia Tech, following their loss today, is no longer there.
Yes.
Magically disappeared.
Right. And again, like 10 miles in Nebraska, I mean, people are doubting them, but they've advanced throughout championship week. There were 325 teams. They've advanced to the final 200.
They have watched 125 other teams fall off, and while they're still there.
While they're still there, yes.
And if we scroll all the way down to the West Coast Conference, we can see that when we were looking at it earlier, Gonzaga was just in bold, but as of tonight's result, winning the West Coast Conference Tournament, they are now bold in caps. BYU does not get eliminated. We still think the committee, despite the loss, should be talking about them, so they are still on the board as well.
Excellent. Okay. So that's the survival board, the most important document anywhere on the internet as far as the selection
goes. On that note, we'll be back again tomorrow night. We're going to have a real busy night tomorrow night, both reviewing a fairly busy day Wednesday and the biggest day of championship week is going to be coming on Thursday, and we're going to be previewing that as well. But have a good night, everybody, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Okay, just one note. Based on tonight's conference tournament results, we've done some swaps on the bracket. We'll have that posted as well.
Yes.